A flood watch is triggering a WRAL weather alert day. How much rain could fall and the hours when the heavier bands arrive.
Plus, we're tracking where the rain could slow down your drive in the WRAL storm tracker. And breaking tonight, the bodies of two men recovered from the Baltimore Bridge collapse.
When errors happen in the maritime sector, they happen very quickly.
What a local professor says needs to happen to prevent another tragedy like this. Plus, why it could soon get harder for your child to get into college in North Carolina. Right now at 7, we are tracking heavy rain over the next 24 hours. You're looking live at conditions tonight. Our live cameras from Southern Pines and Sanford really showing the rain coming down there. In the next hour, a flood watch goes into effect for much of our area, including the Triangle. Some places could see up to 4 inches of rain. Thanks for joining us. I'm Ashley Rowe.
That is a lot of rain. I'm Dan Haggerty. Thanks for being with us. You see some of it moving in on the radar right now, but as Ashley was saying, it is that flood risk that really is the reason we issued the WRAL weather alert day for this evening and into tomorrow. We have live team coverage of you for you of the impacts here. We begin with meteorologist Kat Campbell in the WRAL Severe Weather Center. Kat.
Heavy rain is on the way, and it's just starting to arrive in some bands that we're seeing this evening. Through tomorrow afternoon, that's when the WRAL weather alert day is in effect due to that threat of heavy rain and flooding. And all of central North Carolina will be in the flood watch, where 2 to 4 inches of rain is possible. And if we look at the dual Doppler 5000 radar, there has been some thunder and lightning toward the Sand Hills over the past 30 minutes. That has since died down as that storm moved into Sanford. And it's this band that's moving into Wake County right now. And that's going to bring a band of pretty steady rain over the next hour to Wake County, just on your doorstep. Step there closer to Garner and Apex. This is all going to continue throughout the night. You can see all this rain right here along the stalled front. It's all going to be pushing from the southwest to the northeast along the front throughout the evening and into tonight. So there's a lot more rain where this is coming from. By 10 o'clock, if you join us on Fox 50, meteorologist Mike Mays is going to have a very colorful radar as some of these bands of heavier rain continue to pass through. It's going to be widespread rain. It's going to be heavy rain tonight. Just look at 3 a.m., a lot of heavy rain coming down while you are sleeping, and this should linger into the morning commute as well. So be prepared for a slow commute and a slow start to your Thursday morning. You'll want to leave some extra time. Carly Haynes is in the WRAL storm tracker on US 1, headed to this heavier rain band, headed to the southwest toward Sanford. What's it looking like right now, Carly?
Yeah, Kat, we're going southwest from Raleigh, heading towards Apex to try to intercept some of that rain, but this is what Raleigh looks like right now. Not a lot of rain, still saturated roads from those on and off showers. You are getting a little bit of drizzle on that windshield. Visibility pretty good so far, but as he said, this could all change in just a little bit. If you're anywhere in the part of Moore County towards Sanford in that band, you're probably seeing those showers right now, and Raleigh is going to be getting it pretty soon. I want to go to Mark Boyle in the WRAL Live Center. Mark, what are you seeing?
Well, we're seeing this nagging rain, Carly, as you talked about, continues to come through the area. We've seen it for the past several hours and will continue to do so in the overnight hours into tomorrow. A live look outside for you right now at 703 at North Hills. See those cloudy conditions and a light rain moving through the area right now. Switching to another live camera, I-40 at NC 751. In terms of traffic, the evening drive home, no major issues right now. Switching over to I-40 at Reedy Creek. This is mile marker 286. The road's still slick out there. And this graphic right here finally will give us a better idea of where those wet roads are. The majority of the area, definitely well west of the metro, is green. Anywhere you've seen green means the roads are wet. Off to our east, however, we are seeing those drying conditions. This will fill in the next couple of hours as that rain continues to move our direction. Back to you.
All right, Mark, thank you. Our entire team covering this event for you will continue to do so throughout the evening and into tomorrow. Meantime, you should have that WRAL News app so you can have that radar with you anywhere. It is free wherever you download your apps.
A teenage student and his father were taken into custody today after officials say the student threatened mass violence. It happened at Grays Creek High School in Hope Mills. School officials say the incident began as the teen, Dwight McCoy, was facing disciplinary action. That's when McCoy called his dad, who then came to the school. School officials say the teenager, his father, and school security staff got into an argument. We're told McCoy threatened to shoot up the school as the argument escalated. The school was placed on a code red lockdown as a precaution.
Scared, worried. Obviously, we didn't know what was going on. So I think everybody was just in question.
Important to note, the student did not have a gun and classes did return to normal. McCoy has been charged. We're still waiting to hear if the father was as well.
A startling trend to pay close attention to with domestic violence homicides in our state. With 12 in just the last 3 months, officials here in North Carolina say they're already on track to exceed last year's numbers. Just this week, an Apex woman became one of those deadly statistics when police say her ex-boyfriend shot and killed her outside of her workplace. WRL's Chelsea Donovan gives us a closer look now at the numbers and the resources available for survivors.
On Monday, 30-year-old Felicia Barbie Battle, a mother of two, was gunned down outside of her Apex workplace. Yesterday, her ex-boyfriend, Tavon Leach, appeared in this courthouse charged with first-degree murder, a murder authorities say is domestic violence related.
Mr. Leach, you are here on a first appearance. You have a right to remain silent.
30-year-old Tevin Leach sways back and forth before a judge after fleeing this murder scene outside of Molly Maids in Apex on Monday morning.
You have been charged with first-degree murder.
After Leach's appearance, a heated exchange occurred between Leach and the victim's relatives in the courtroom.
The highest risk of harm for someone in a domestic violence relationship is actually at the time that they leave that relationship.
Apex police stated Monday's murder was domestic violence related, a type of homicide rapidly rising.
We're seeing a stark increase from 2023 to 2024.
The numbers are alarming. This year, there have already been 12 domestic violence related homicides since January 1st to March 15th. In 2023, there were 72 homicides. 2022, 50.
Domestic violence can happen to anyone. Domestic violence does not discriminate, and it doesn't matter how rich or how poor you are.
Nisha Williams with the North Carolina Coalition Against Domestic Violence says if someone finds themselves in a fearful situation, start a safety plan.
Safety planning can be as simple as reaching out to a trusted loved one or friend and creating a code word.
Also, contact the hotline for assistance or for an emergency shelter.
We are aware that not every survivor wants to call law enforcement. And so what we want, though, is to have folks have a variety of choices in resources that they can be able to contact.
Also, if you feel like you're suffering from emotional or physical abuse, you can come down to the nearest civil courthouse and file what's called a 50B, a domestic violence protective order. Chelsea Donovan, WRL News, Raleigh.
Ashley.
The North Carolina Coalition of Domestic Violence says it takes, on average, 7 tries before a survivor permanently leaves the relationship. For the number to call in a domestic violence crisis and tips on filing a protective order, find this story on WREL.com. We're going to get Dan a glass of water and send things over to Mark Boyle in the Live Center. Mark.
Hey, Ashley, good evening to you. A quick update here in the Live Center right now on that bridge crash investigation, that vessel still in place. You know, the images of this are just really quite the scene when you see it, how large this vessel is, about 1,000 feet long with that bridge, the Key Bridge there in Baltimore, on top of it. The new information here that's been developing, they have recovered the bodies of 2 people. The search continues for the 4 others there in Baltimore. In that water, it is very challenging. The frigid conditions for the divers, and it's just murky. It's not easy for them to do. So the families wait. All of those loved ones in the community there in Baltimore continue to wait for news that more have been discovered or recovered out of the water. But again, the new information is 2 bodies have been found, 4 others presumed dead. Back to you.
A sad update, but you know that the family has a bit of closure there. A local historian says the moments before the crash are the most crucial part of understanding how this all unfolded. A port worker told CNN the ship was docked for 2 days before the crash because of an electrical problem. A maritime historian at Campbell University says there's a clear need for more investment in maritime infrastructure and protection for bridges. That includes better ship inspections and bridge barriers.
We just don't put enough resources and personnel to ensuring that vessels are safe in operating in our waters.
The professor joining a growing chorus of experts warning that the bridge collapse will likely have effects on the global supply chain. For North Carolina, he says that could mean certain shipments are delayed. The next update from the NTSB is scheduled for 8 o'clock tonight. You can watch that news conference live on WREL News Plus, on Channel 34, over the air, on Spectrum 1257, or in the WRAL app on your smart TV and mobile devices.
Three airplanes violated the no-fly zone while President Biden and Vice President Harris were in Raleigh. You're looking at a recording of the air traffic from yesterday while they were here. The airspace over Raleigh was under temporary flight restrictions during that presidential visit. NORAD confirmed they intercepted three planes in that space between 2 and 5 p.m. All three were escorted out of the no-fly zone. The organization says it can't speak to the pilot's intent in flying within that restricted airspace. Still ahead, the UNC men's basketball team has landed out in California. They're in L.A., and so has WRAL's Pat Welter. We're taking you to Crypto.com Arena live with a look at how the teams are preparing for their Sweet 16 tip-off. Plus, an elusive bobcat caught on camera in our area. How a Franklin County man was able to capture this rare video coming up. And as we head to break, we'll take another live look outside, this time at Sanford. It is a rainy night and the rain will continue, but we'll stay on top of it for you. Stay with us. The UNC system is looking to raise the minimum requirements for students to get into college. That includes UNC Chapel Hill, NC State, and NC Central. Right now, students do not have to submit standardized test scores to apply.
And a growing number of them aren't. You know, 59% of applicants did not submit an ACT or SAT score in 2021. That increased to 64% in 2022. WRAL's Matt Tallhelm explains why the UNC system could bring back those requirements.
The Board of Governors waived testing requirements for admissions pretty early in the pandemic in July of 2020. They've extended that twice, but that could end with students looking to get into a UNC system school as early as the fall of 2025.
The UNC system is moving closer to reinstating standardized testing requirements for students who want to enroll in its 16 schools.
I don't think UNC should be in a race to the bottom to lower admissions in order to fill seats.
Board of Governors members met virtually to discuss the proposal ahead of a deadline looming for students applying for the fall of 2025. If the board doesn't make any changes, the minimum requirements will revert back to 2020 standards. Students were required to have a 2.5 weighted GPA or a minimum 19 score on the ACT or 10-10 on the SAT to be eligible for admission. Now, the board is considering a requirement for students to submit test scores if they have a weighted GPA between 2.5 and 2.8. That would begin with fall 2025 applicants. A year later, students whose GPA falls in that range would be required to have a minimum test score of 17 on the ACT or 930 on the SAT.
We found our way to an appropriate position here, which is to use both pieces of information judiciously to think about student readiness and admission.
The proposal is gaining support from within the board and several university chancellors, despite concerns about equity.
I think the primary concern that we've heard many times is just the accessibility of testing and resources.
I think the potential harm of not requiring the test is greater. Even though one individual may suffer, on the whole, I think we'll have a better preparedness.
The board didn't make any decision today, but they will consider the proposals to raise those minimum requirements at a meeting next month. Matt Tallhelm, WRAL News, Raleigh.
The UNC system says only 548 in-state public high school students who are admitted in 2022 would not meet these new requirements.
So have you placed any sports bets yet? I know a lot of you are saying yes, because we can tell North Carolinians apparently are big fans of the new sports gambling here, and they're putting some serious money on the line. Mobile sports betting was just legalized March 11th, a little over 2 weeks ago. Numbers released today show North Carolinians placed $23 million worth of bets in just the first 12 hours. Lottery officials say the state is on track to bet more than $500 million in just the first month, if you can believe those numbers. The UNC men's basketball team is in L.A. right now, gearing up for their Sweet 16 game against Alabama. Not long ago, the team hit the hardwood at Crypto.com Arena.
And that is where we find WRAL's Pat Welter after arriving in California just over the past few hours. Pat, how are the guys feeling? You know, they've got to contend with some jet lag here.
Yeah, so do I. Got up about 3 o'clock this morning, but I am energized. How can you not be? I am right outside the locker rooms here at Crypto.com Arena in downtown Los Angeles. So keep a lookout behind me. You never know who you're going to see walking down these hallways. And I just came out of the locker room and out of practice with UNC. They're feeling real loose, really just taking in this historic arena, the home of the Lakers. Takeaway I got from them was that they know they need to throw the first punch against Alabama. Really a very up-tempo offense that that team has. So let's give you a look behind the scenes here inside Crypto.com Arena. We got the matchups lit up in a billboard. We are in the land of Hollywood, after all, and some real movie-worthy storylines here in the Sweet 16. I mean, if UNC wins, they could face Caleb Love in Arizona in the Elite Eight. But, of course, first, they got a matchup against Alabama, which features a local kid, Jaren Stevenson, who was born in Chapel Hill, got his first offer from UNC, but chose Alabama. I talked to him earlier. He gave me his key to beating the Tar Heels.
Really just running in transition, getting stops. Our defense hasn't been consistent this year. I feel like it's going to have to show up this game. You know, Carolina's a great offensive team. They got great players over there, so I feel like defense and just making shots and stuff, or fast-paced offense, and, yeah, making plays.
Stevenson has a really incredible story. His mom, Nicole, played basketball at UNC, so a lot of people thought he was going to go there, but he told me there wasn't really some big conspiracy behind it or anything. He just felt like Alabama was the place that he could develop the most. He's really excited to be playing in the Sweet 16 his freshman season. So that's just one of the many stories we're working on sharing with you guys out here in Los Angeles. I'll have plenty more coming up tonight and tomorrow.
All right, Pat, have fun. We're pulling for him. Thanks so much.
He doesn't seem like a guy who's been up since 3 a.m.
I know. I know.
All right. So while Pat is out there in California catching all the Tar Heels action, Chris Lee, check out the map. He's in Dallas. He's with NC State and Duke. We got to look at those games and the times, all three triangle teams. UNC, again, taking on Alabama and L.A. tomorrow at 9:39 p.m. That's Eastern time. Then on Friday, NC State plays Marquette at 7:09 and Duke versus Houston at 9:39 p.m. Look for all the action right here on WRAL.
Oh, we've been talking about that rain. How about Pinehurst right now?
Oh, boy.
Some serious ponding on some of the greens here. Well, yeah, not the day to be out golfing.
Water hazard, they call that. Meteorologist Kat Campbell joining us with the timeline here and what people need to be looking out for.
It's going to get worse later tonight. So if you can avoid being on the roads tonight, try to do so, especially during the late night hours as it gets dark and through the overnight. It's going to be a mess. We're going to see a lot of ponding likely on the roads. We're starting to see some heavier rain, even some bolts of lightning just west of Chatham County right now. And there's the heavy rain that's moving through Pinehurst. That is going to be making its way up toward Raleigh on the trajectory. So all this rain moves from the southwest to the northeast throughout the evening, and we'll see some heavier pockets of rain. You can see all the rain to the southwest. So this is where it's all coming from. And it just creates this stream of constant rain that we're going to see moving in late tonight, and it should add up to quite a bit of rain. Here's our latest rainfall totals, 0.71 inches. The winner there in Durham, 0.54 inches in Southern Pines, 0.44 in Roxborough, as well as Raleigh, 0.42 in Rocky Mount. Some lower totals south and east of the triangle now, but as we see that front shift east, you'll pick up on it, and especially tomorrow morning. An early heads up that you need to leave some extra time before you leave the house in the morning. I think the morning commute's going to be a slow one for us. Meteorologist Anthony Baglione will keep you up to date with where the heaviest rain is as you wake up tomorrow morning. So definitely turn on WRAL News before you leave the house. 100% chance of rain tomorrow morning. We see that chance back off between about noon and 4 p.m. tomorrow. We'll see the rain clearing out from west to east. Still a WRAL weather alert day tomorrow, though, due to the heavy rain. If we look ahead late tonight, you can see by midnight we've got a lot of rain and some heavy rain showing up here on Futurecast, and you may hear it on your roof pretty much all night long. This is going to be some pretty heavy rain out there. 6 a.m. we still have that heavy rain, especially in our eastern counties. As I mentioned, our eastern counties haven't seen as much yet, but it's coming, and the rain is still widespread at 8 a.m. though the later morning commute may not see as heavy of rain as the early morning commute. Still widespread, the rain at lunchtime, but it's starting to lighten up, and we see the rain backing off from west to east pretty early tomorrow afternoon. So we'll see improvements later in the day, and then we clear out heading into tomorrow evening and tomorrow night. The good news here is that we've had a couple of wet weekends with rain chances. We're getting the rain out of the way during the week. It's a lot of rain for us, so we're going to need some time to dry out this weekend, but we've got it. Upper 60s Friday. It'll be breezy tomorrow and Friday and staying pretty breezy into the weekend, but a warming wind kicking in. 77 degrees for Saturday, 80 degrees the high on Easter Sunday. Not bad for spring lovers out there. As we get into early next week, it stays pretty spring-like with highs in the 70s and 80s.
All right, Kat, thank you.
A sinkhole at a speedway in our state unearthed something at the center of decades-old rumors. What crews found and what they plan to do next ahead of the NASCAR All-Star Race planned there.
Taking a live look at a wet Sanford on this Wednesday evening, and we're waiting for more heavy rain to come in overnight and into the early morning hours. A local man caught an elusive bobcat prowling through the creek near his game camera.
This is cool video. This is in Franklin County. Now, bobcats, of course, not uncommon in North Carolina, especially in the western part of the state. However, it's not often that someone sees one of these beautiful animals or captures video of them lurking around and doing bobcat stuff. But it's a really cool shot. There's something also kind of strange lurking beneath the old North Wilkesboro Speedway.
It's fascinating. The historic track was recently revived for the NASCAR All-Star Race. It's coming back this year, and as crews worked toward that event, they discovered this, a moonshine cave. They actually found this while dealing with a sinkhole near the grandstands. The cave is about 700 square feet. Track officials say rumors of its existence circulated for decades. Crews removed the seats there and plan to seal everything up before the All-Star Race in May.
I love when something that is legend becomes reality.
I know. I'd love to take a peek through there.
Missed an opportunity. Put a little bar down there.
Ooh.
You know, something. Think of something. Hey, thanks for joining us. We'll continue to track the widespread rain for us as we go throughout the evening.
Good night.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.